Welcome back to the program. I'm Michael Cohen. This is 1320 WILS. A new study by the nonpartisan Pew Research Center Project for Excellence in Journalism finding that while the Republican Party didn't decide on the winner of the presidential primary until Rick Santorum dropped out, the media made up its mind long before that. In fact, right after the primary here in Michigan. To talk about it, I'm joined by Tom Rosensteel, the director of the Project for Excellence in Journalism and the co-author of the report. Tom, thanks for joining us this evening.
My pleasure to be here.
It's strange that after the Michigan primary that was essentially a tie, that you say the media seemed to make up its mind. How did you determine that?
Well, we monitor every week the tone of the coverage across thousands of different news outlets using computer technology mixed with conventional content analysis research methods. And there was a clear shift in tone the week after Michigan. Romney's coverage got much more positive relative to how much of it was negative, and the other candidates began to drop off.
Well, we seem to hear the word inevitable when it came to Romney all along. What seemed to change specifically at that point?
Well, there was a 12-fold increase the week after Michigan in the press of discussing delegate math, the inevitability of the delegate count tipping to Romney. Essentially, the narrative moved to the idea right after Michigan that Romney could now not lose. Even if he lost caucuses and primaries, because the Republican rules were going to apportion delegates based on what percentage of the vote you got, the media basically decided or came to the conclusion that from after Michigan, he couldn't lose because the number of delegates at minimum he was going to get would get him over the top.
Well, wasn't it, in fact, based on the actual numbers? Didn't the media crunch the numbers and come up with a fairly non-biased view that he did, in fact, have the numbers to win at that point?
Yeah, I'm not. I mean, we're not suggesting here that this is was some kind of, you know, forced projection on the part of the media or some reflection of bias or rooting. The same thing happened for Barack Obama 4 years ago when Tim Russert on NBC sort of famously did the math and said, because the Democrats had this, had similar rules back then, he said, yeah, look, I think at this point Clinton can't actually stop him. He's got a big enough lead that if you project the math, it's likely in every contest from here on, he probably is going to can't be stopped.
With the media as fragmented as it is today, do you think there is less of this kind of communal thinking that some people claim exists in the news industry?
Well, certainly in terms of the volume of what you can see in the media, there's a big shift. In terms of where the audience is going, there isn't as big a shift as people might think. If you look at how many people watch the legacy media, whether you're talking about cable news, network news, the major websites, of which we may be talking about five or six websites that really dominate traffic online, the major newspapers that have an agenda-setting power, that conversation is still fairly communal.
I'm talking to Tom Rosensteel, the director of the Project for Excellence in Journalism at the Pew Research Center. You know, Tom, some people say that the media does have an innate bias and that someone like President Obama is a media darling. Is there some truth to that?
You know, it's funny. What you see in the coverage is things that are much more basic and quantifiable than that. And that is, when you've got six people running against you and you're Barack Obama, the coverage of you is highly negative because you've got so many people out there criticizing you. And the press, regardless of what people think of it, has, you know, does fulfill this obligation of quoting what candidates are saying on the stump every day. So the coverage of Obama has been very heavily negative because it's a fight that's sort of one against six. You also have shifts in that track very clearly with economic data. So Obama's coverage was more negative in January. Job numbers start to improve in February. his poll numbers go up as a consequence, and then his coverage begins to improve in February data.
What about those that say that the press does have a liberal leaning, they support the Democratic Party over the Republican Party, and an outlet like Fox News is more centrist in its views and the way it presents the news? What is your viewpoint on that when you look at American journalism?
Well, the data doesn't really support that. And in fact, increasingly it's Democrats who are, and liberals who are, part of the reason that the number of people who think the press is biased is growing. In the early part of the decade, we saw it was Republicans who were increasingly skeptical of the press. In the last 4 years, it's growing suspicion among Democrats about conservatism or about conservative media that have led to rising numbers about, or rising perception of press bias. Essentially, winning begets winning in the press. So in 2000, as George Bush ran a campaign that was stronger than some people thought, Al Gore got a lot of coverage that he was not a great campaigner, that he stretched the truth, and the like. Now, in 2004, we saw John Kerry get pretty good press for a while, and then his press began to turn as he began to fall in the polls a little bit. You know, the news media is very aware of the perception of bias and is pretty cautious, and in coverage of campaigns, being ahead in the polls is the number one way to get good coverage.
One more thing. Do you consider opinionated bloggers, news websites that have a tilt and a bent to their reporting, and right-wing radio that we see now that expresses essentially one side of a position, do you consider all of that part of the news media also?
Well, it's certainly part of the media culture that people are exposed to. But what we see in our survey research is that people know what they're getting from these places. So when we ask people, why do you watch Rachel Maddow or Bill O'Reilly, they tell us for commentary, not for news. When we say, why do you go to Yahoo News, the number one website for news in America, people say for breaking news. There's a rationality to the choices that people are making. And one interesting piece of data is that the people who are the heaviest readers of blogs are also the most skeptical readers of what they get on blogs. By and large, people read blogs not thinking that they're getting reporting, but thinking that they're getting analysis and commentary.
Tom Rosenstiel, director of the Project for Excellence in Journalism, co-author of the new report released today by the nonpartisan Pew Research Center. Tom, thanks so much for joining us this evening.
My pleasure.
And we're coming right back. I'm Michael Cohen. This is 1320 WILS.